Unplugged, the podcast.
Women are strong, and how they are not scared of saying what they want to say. Actually, I think that when people like the bosses are going a little more down and they're talking normally with other people, not like they're the best, but they're the same as everyone, because we are all humans, we are all the same, then I think it's also easier to talk with them and to communicate with them. And I think it's also easier to achieve the group's goal. So I would say every person, no matter what skin color, what gender, what religion, what age, they should say what they think, what their opinion. And then if someone doesn't agree, it's their opinion.
I've got an amazing young woman today in the podcast. And let me just read that so I get that all right. She's 17. A Polish pre-IB student, and I will be asking what IB stands for. She's been living in Berlin since 2018, and in August, she will be moving to Israel to study. Barbara, welcome to the podcast. And when I read your bio, what is IB?
Well, IB is a short of International Baccalaureate. It's an IBDP program, which means in different countries, there's different baccalaureate programs or like maturity exams. Like in Germany, I know there's Abitur. Yeah. And IB is just a program which is international, which in each country, in each school, it can happen. Just depends if you want to do a German Abitur, a Polish Matura, or IB, which is an international baccalaureate.
Because you see, with all those abbreviations, I'm a bit stuck. Now, Barbara, the reason why you're in the podcast and the conversation today is because you participated in the GGU. And let me ask you, first of all, how did you get involved? How did you hear about GGU?
So I heard about GGU from my former class teacher. It was last school year, about a year ago. She told our whole class that there is this camp and maybe we can look at it, maybe it's something for us. So I decided, why not to check it? So I look at the website. I realized it's something for me because I was interested in women's rights for a long time. And I decided I'm going to try.
Why are you interested in women's rights? You are 17. At 17, I had other thoughts. I had other priorities. What makes you being interested in women's rights?
Well, I just find it really interesting. It all started actually from in sixth grade when I had to make a presentation about First World War, then Second World War. And I heard about suffragettes. These were women who were fighting for their rights in the times of First World War. And then after, it also some depends on the country, but after the fights of the women finally got the ability to vote, to say who they want to vote. So they had finally voice in politics. And that's from where it all started. I just was more interested in how women are strong and how they are not scared of saying what they want to say. And later it also developed not only women's rights, but also in children's rights, because as a child, I also was interested in different, like, and because we usually hear that, like, sometimes we hear that women, that kids don't have the same rights as adults. They don't have the right to say their opinion and so on. So it also kind of developed into this.
Now, let me just be, maybe mean could be the word. Should children have the same rights in terms of speaking their mind as adults? I mean, after all, these are children. Do they know how the world works?
Well, actually, in my opinion, some children are smarter than we think.
We is a nice way of putting it. They're smarter than some of the adults think, right?
No, actually, even some, like, for example, I don't know, sometimes I'm so impressed how smart my younger brother is. Like, even kids are amazed by how other kids are smart, even though they're, I don't know, 6 years old or something. They already know something that you wouldn't even know when you're 40 or 60, or even at the end of your life, you wouldn't know it. So I would say every person, no matter what skin color, what gender, what religion, what age, they should say what they think, what their opinion. And then if someone doesn't agree, it's their opinion. So
I find it challenging to say everybody has the right to express their thoughts, because there's a saying in terms of, like, your freedom, your space kind of ends where my freedom, my space begins. And if I would have to have a political opinion or a religious opinion, which actually, it's not just my opinion, but oppresses yours, should I still be free to voice it?
Well, in my opinion, you should be free to say it or to have your opinion, but you shouldn't abandon other opinions, or you shouldn't say your opinion is more important than someone else's, because everyone has their own opinions, and I think everyone is free and should have their own opinion, because then the world is more interesting and more colorful. But they shouldn't say that their opinion is better or that someone else's opinion is wrong.
So it's kind of like, if I listen to you, it's, we all have the right of what we think, but we shouldn't feel that we are better than others. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah, exactly.
You have a really interesting background, Barbara. So in your bio, it says you're Polish. Currently, you're living in Berlin. And in about a month and a half, 2 months, you're moving to Israel. Mm-hmm. So where's your culture base? Where do you see your roots?
So actually, I talked to my mom about this some time ago, and I told her my heart, my home is always going to be Poland, and it's going to be inside. But I feel like it doesn't matter where I live, what city, what house, what country, it doesn't matter. It only gives me more knowledge and it's more interesting. So I feel like I live all around the world, let's say. Mm-hmm. But my heart will always be in Poland, even if I'm not gonna live there.
Now, that's beautiful, and that has a sense of peacefulness about it, the way you're describing it. Let us just go back now to GGU. Your teacher told you about it, you read about it, you thought, could be interesting, and you went for it. If you go back to that experience, what did you take out of it? I mean, how did it change you?
Well, actually, I took a lot from it, and it changed me really completely. I would say it changed my life, my soul, like, a lot. It had a huge impact on me. My mom told me, like, about a year ago, before GGU, that I was still kind of like a child, and I had my opinions, I had my my dreams, I had my interests, but I still was like fighting with my siblings and so on. And she said that through the past year, I changed completely. And I think a huge part of it was also GGU, because I went to a summer camp with them, which was 1 week, after which I already started to have new ideas, started to not only have ideas and dreams, but also I started to take steps to actually achieve the dreams and change them into reality.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah. So one example is in eighth grade, I did an internship at UNICEF in Poland for 1 week, and I wanted to continue it, but because of pandemics, also we all got kind of lazy, including myself, and I didn't want to do anything. And then after GGU, like GGU was also this thing that kind of motivated me to start helping others and to not only think about women's rights and children's rights, but also to do something. And that's how I became a UNICEF junior teamer volunteer. And I also made a training program at UNICEF Youth. And soon I'm going to become the leader of our UNICEF Youth junior team group in Berlin.
Wow. And you're only 17.
Yes.
Okay, let's just imagine what you can achieve in the next 10 years. But let's just go back. I mean, you say it changed you completely. That is somehow sort of the summary of what happened there. But how, I mean, why did it have such an impact on you? You just spent a week there.
Well, at the beginning, I didn't, like before I went to GGU, when I was on my way, I thought it's going to be like a summer camp, just a normal summer camp. But then during it, during the summer camp, I felt much more open. The environment was really friendly. Like no one was scared. And like we could reveal our deepest secret that was like inside us. And then after revealing this, what had to go out, it just became much easier to just live. Mm. And also after meeting with the mentors, it like motivates, and you think, I want to be like her. Like everyone was so helpful, so friendly, so motivating, that we all motivated each other. And all the lessons were also building. So it was just amazing experience.
Would you say that it's for all girls and any girl, or are there girls where you say, well, it might not be the same? But I'm giving you an example. You said you shared sort of your deepest secrets and after that it became easier. Now, some girls might not want to share their secrets or feel... Yeah, I'm going to use the word feel ashamed of their insight and what they think or what they experience. So would you say GGU is for everybody, for all girls?
Well, I would say it's for all girls. And the really interesting thing is that when I came there, I realized that Courtney and all the GGU team wants to connect both girls who are more confident and girls who are not confident and who came there to gain the confidence. And then during the 1 week, I realized that when it connects together, it's something magical. I think I didn't see any other camp which does it, which connects both more confident people and the ones who want to gain the confidence. And actually, it works really well. And I think it's for everyone, no matter what confidence level they have, if they want to express what they think, if they don't want to express, I think it can help everyone.
It sounds amazing. What really practical skills did you take out of that week? apart from being motivated, you know, and then reconnecting with your own dreams and ambitions, but what actual skills did you take out?
Well, I definitely took out, like, there were many workshops, many lessons that we had. We learned a lot about different rights, like humans, women, everything. And GGU, for myself, it helped me a lot with leadership and like how to become a leader, how to lead a group better. And this definitely, I got a lot about from GGU. And I also still remember there was one workshop which was about personal space, and it gave me a lot of thinking, not only about my personal space, because I'm confident with like sharing with people, but I realized some other people, they also have their personal space and it's different for each person. So now after GGU, like after this camp, I started to look more at other people and see how like comfortable they are and what's their space. So that's really helpful also with talking with people, with getting to know them. It really helped me.
Oh, that it's a really essential skill, especially, I mean, it's not just personal differences, but it's cultural differences, sometimes also age difference. It's religious difference. So it all comes in. You said the magic word. I've been teaching leadership skills now for, well, more years than you are actually old. So there we go. That tells you something how old I am. How do you define leadership, Barbara?
It's a really good question. Leadership. I would say for me, leadership is usually a person who brings a group of people together, brings people who want to be around the person, who it's not about that the person is giving each of them the job and then do it, I'm the boss, and you know, when you finish, come back, I'm gonna just sign it. But it's more about being like on the same level with them, but being like the helper. So like helping the team, connecting the team, and having a dream, having a goal to which the whole group is motivated, also by the leader, because leader also has to motivate and keep the motivation in the group and to achieve their goal, to go together and till the end.
Now that's a very, very nice definition. Let me probe a little bit deeper. I mean, if you work for UNICEF, that works really well. If you look sort of in the industry and in normal teams, usually what happens, there's a goal that comes from top down. Somebody right at the top says what the company should achieve. Mm-hmm. It trickles down to each and every team, there into each and every employee. And very often it is the case that the employees don't really connect to the goal and have no personal, no personal desire behind it. How do we have to change our working environment? Looking into the future now, how will we have to change that so that becomes actually a lived reality?
So actually, that's kind of a topic I'm thinking more about right now, and also with my mentor, also from GGU. We talk about this a lot. And if this is a company, for example, then I think there shouldn't be such a like hierarchy, but it should be more equal. People, because usually when we see that there is the boss, then there is the, I don't know exactly the names, but like under the boss, then you is kind of like in monarchy, you see that the queen is like the best. but actually all people, everyone together work for this. So I would say in a company, in an organization, whatever thing it is in which there is this like triangle hierarchy, then I would say it should go maybe a little more flat. Actually, I think that when people like the bosses are going a little more down and they're talking normally with other people, not like they're the best, but they're the same as everyone, because we are all humans, we're all the same, then I think it's also easier to talk with them and to communicate with them. And I think it's also easier to achieve the group's goal.
What I'm really curious about, and that is important for the future and for the future of the world, where do you see actually the biggest challenges for our future, but also the biggest sort of like possibilities that we have?
Well, I think advantage and disadvantages are definitely the technology that we have right now. And also with the technology, it's kind of connected to the age of people, because nowadays I think mostly younger kids are into technology, all of this stuff, and older people not that much. Obviously there are some exceptions in both, but generally speaking, and I think it should definitely also, like in companies, for example, or organizations, I think it's important to have mixed teams. So then it's kind of like, so you know, you can use every skill, because I don't have all the skills the company needs. Another person don't have all the skills. Like, it's a team and each person have different skills, and it all together makes a strong company and or organization, or and I think that's definitely a strength, that we are different. But the thing that we should use is the difference, not only in the age, but also in the background. And because people also have different backgrounds, they have different knowledge. So one person can say that in this case, it's not going to work, I don't know, in our country, because our customers, for example, are not really willing to buy it. And then if we have people more international, different ages, gender also, then it's more mixed, and there are more possibilities, more opportunities.
So it's like you're talking about diversity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lift diversity. Barbara, now I'm going to be 50. No, I am 50. Actually, I'm going to be 51 this year. What do you think I can learn from your generation?
I think you can learn from every person something different.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I think definitely about technology, but also maybe I think our generation is really open to, much more open to diversity. And maybe that's something that your generation could learn from our generations in some way, like accepting everyone no matter what, like we don't have to be friends with everyone, but just being respectful. And I think that's something that changing more in our, like starting more from our generations, I would say.
I think you're right, because I mean, your generation is so globally connected, not just because of GGU, but just because of the internet and social media.
Yeah.
Which like, I mean, can you imagine there was a time there was no internet, there was no social media, there were no likes. So that's, you know, my generation. And obviously, there's a different natural way about it that your generation is bringing. I know that in August you're going to be moving to Israel. What will you be doing there?
Well, I'm moving there for my last 2 years of school. I'm going there to high school. It's an international school in Israel, next to Tel Aviv. And I'm going to do the international baccalaureate there.
Why Israel?
Well, I didn't think about Israel specifically at the beginning. At the beginning, I was just trying to look for something new. Because when I moved to Berlin, I got many, many new opportunities. Like, I wouldn't even expect it. But then I still am gaining a lot of opportunities here. But I feel like I used most of the opportunities from my school in Berlin. And I wanted to change. But I wanted to change and try something new, something different. So I first applied to a different school, but I didn't get accepted. But then I didn't worry. I was looking again and I found out EMIS, so Eastern Mediterranean International School, which is a school which fights for peace. And it brings together kids from all over the world. For the last 2 years, we all come there. There are people from Palestine, from Israel, I think 20% and 20%. And then the rest is people from all over the world. And the main goal is to fight for peace. And the school is like an example of peace and how people can live in peace and without conflicts.
By being there, what skills, what traits, what behavior are you hoping to strengthen or develop?
Well, I would definitely love to develop more speaking and like being more into politics. And also I want to know more cultures because that's so interesting for me. I just love to know different habits and different religions, different ways people celebrate even birthday and so on. So I really am hoping to get a lot of cultural experience.
Let me take you into your own future. What is your ambition? Where do you see yourself?
That's a very hard question, which many people ask me. But I don't know exactly where I see myself. I definitely want to still continue. I don't know if it's going to be voluntary work or my job with UNICEF, because that's really, UNICEF is already a part of my heart. So, and I definitely want to continue with this. But also, on one hand, I was thinking about starting my own organization or company. And then support UNICEF, or I was also thinking about different jobs, but not sure yet what exactly. But for now, I'm sure that I definitely want to continue with helping people because that's something that I love to do. And I hope I will be able to use my leadership skills in the future.
And what would you advise somebody, let's say, maybe a touch younger than you, let's say 14, 15, who really doesn't know yet where the path will lead them? You know, they might not know what profession they are interested in. They might not know who they actually are. They might have never gone to GGU and will never go to GGU. What would you advise them how to find their path?
Well, first, I would say, don't worry. I still don't know where I am going to be. I would say it all changes. We never know what's going to happen. For example, me last year, I wouldn't even imagine this whole year would happen and everything that I did throughout the last year would happen. So, and it, this year kind of changed my life like completely. So I would say, first of all, don't worry. Second, if there are any opportunities, if you have dreams, any type of dreams, even if your dream is to play basketball, start doing this, start playing basketball. If you got an opportunity to, I don't know, make an internship somewhere, even though you don't know if you're interested in it, just try. Mm-hmm. Trying is good because then you learn more. And also, if you're interested, I don't know, in architecture, try to find an internship maybe, see if you actually like it. And if it doesn't work, don't worry, try something different. Don't give up because there are so many interesting things. I found out like 3 months ago that I'm not into science, but into humanities. So that's all fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing to worry about.
I definitely like that advice and I will pass it on to anybody who's really in need of that. And I think there are a lot of young people who need to hear that, who are struggling with finding actually their path. On one hand, it's great that you have all those opportunities. On the other hand, it can be challenging to find your way through all those opportunities. For example, just one of the last questions, Barbara, how did you get involved with UNICEF? I mean, did you just pick up the phone and said, well, can I have an internship there? I'm interested.
I was at the beginning interested in women's rights mostly. And I wrote many emails to different organizations which supported women's rights, which were fighting for women's rights. But then one day, my mom was reading a newspaper article in which there was an interview with Marek Krupiński, who is the head of UNICEF Poland. And then I thought, like, why not to try it, right? Something different. But if I don't try it, I wouldn't know, like, how it is and how it works. So I actually struggled to find his email address anywhere. It wasn't written anywhere, like on the website. So I actually decided I'm going to guess it. And I guessed the email. I sent it the mail. I was like, let's see what happens. If it's the wrong email, the message, like the email is going to come back. But then it didn't come back. And a week later or something like this, I got a positive response that I got accepted the internship. And I was in heaven. I was so happy, so happy.
I do hope that UNICEF is listening to your generation because it's such a big organization and there's a lot where you say, well, it could be better. Mm-hmm. Now, right at the end of the podcast, I'm always asking the same question and I will pose this question to you too, Barbara. Now, was there any question that you wished I had asked you, but I didn't? You could answer it now. And if there wasn't, then how would you somehow find the essence of the last roughly 30 minutes of our conversation? How would you sum it up?
Well, so actually there is one question. It's about GGU. And it's, why do I think GGU is so special? Because actually for me, it's something really special, which like I'm connected with GGU for about a year right now. And why GGU? Why not other many? There are many different, I know there are many different camps and many different opportunities in which girls can, they're also called leadership camps or schools or things like this. And I would say it's because GGU is real. Because I see that actually Courtney and the whole GGU team is actually actually they believe in us and they actually want to help us. Because when I was looking for the other ones, when I was also looking later after Juju at other opportunities, other leadership schools and so on, I see they're not so, they just do it to like teach us some skills, but they don't help us for the next like year, for the next our next steps. But GGU is always there. They really, really believe in us. And I feel like Courtney and the whole group really believes that we can be the change, even though we are just 17, 14, 16. They believe in us, even though we are still kids, and basically we are the change, and they believe that we are the change, and that's the most supportive thing, which I think really is special for GGU, and that's what I really love about GGU.
And that is the most beautiful ending to our conversation. You are the change that the world needs, that the world might not want, but it needs it. And from my perspective, thank you so much, Barbara, that you shared your, not just your experiences, but also your aspirations with us, that you shared where you think change needs to happen and how it could actually happen. And for your future, I'm just wishing you all the best.
Thank you very much. Also, thank you for having me in the interview, in the podcast. I really had fun and I'm happy I could share my ideas, and I hope I could help some of the people who are listening.
You heard a production by Anja Förster. Copyright Anja Förster. Music by audionautics.com.